Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. Probably going to start there, go somewhere else, and hopefully come back there, but I don't know if we can do this all in one morning. There's a lot of stuff. First Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, I'm going to stop right there. And actually kind of back up just a little bit to the beginning of this, because I got something I wanted to say about the book of 1 Peter and the book of 2 Peter, for that matter. Peter's letters are to believers. Okay? There's no doubt about that. That's who it's addressed to. That's who he's addressed both of these to. It's not a message for the world, by any means, because the world won't have it. But I do know some people in some instances have made a distinction in some of this stuff, and it's a distinction I refuse to make with sound Bible doctrine and verses to back it up. But I refuse to put a distinction inside the church of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some things that are directly written to Jews in this book, in the New Testament. I wholeheartedly agree. But the truth behind those and the truth of those is true for every member of the church in every letter written to the church. Those Jews that were brought in are brought into the body of Christ now.
Right.
And there is no difference.
Right.
Christ may make a difference in the members of his own body as he sees fit.
Right.
That's his business.
Right.
But what happens in his kingdom, in his glory, is whatever he's going to do anyway. And I approve. Not that he needs it or anything, but I approve of everything Christ has done, Christ is doing, and Christ will do. I'm all for it. And I rejoice in his works. But however, at this time and in this place, including when Peter wrote this, there is only one gospel. There is only one body. It's his body. It's called the church.
Right.
And there is only one fold.
Yeah.
His fold.
Right.
If there's another fold, it doesn't matter because it's not his.
Not his.
It doesn't matter. There were others that were not in the fold. He had to bring them in, and he's bringing them in. But he's bringing them into one fold, and there's one fold, and there's one shepherd, and that's it. And any more distinction than that, I'm not going to lay down.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So, my approach to the circumcision may be different than my approach to the uncircumcision. There was one where Peter said he had the gospel of the uncircumcision. Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision. It was the same gospel.
Same gospel.
It was the same gospel.
The
approach may be different. You don't approach someone who has been born and raised in the church of God the same way you might be born and raised Hasidic.
Sure.
You deal with people where they are.
Right.
But you deal with them with the gospel.
Light the gospel.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Now later things will change as far as it goes with the departure, the rapture, the catching up. But the message is still going to be the same. Christ is all.
Right.
And if that's not your message, the problem's with you.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I just wanted to say that. Because here we have Peter writing to the elders, which are among you. He wrote these instructions, and I'm going to tell you, this is as valid here as it is in anywhere else. Because we are members of the same body that these people were members of. We are members. And that's it. There's only one fold. For this assembly, or those assemblies that Peter was writing to, and this assembly are parts of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a part of the body, he wasn't writing to you. The duties and the ministry of the elders has not changed.
No.
Because the message has not
Amen.
Changed.
Yeah.
It's the same 2,000 years ago when he wrote this. It's the same now. And it's the same whether the assembly here would be mostly Jewish or mostly not.
Right.
The instructions are the same. The message is the same. He starts it off saying, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Peter was just throwing out this is instructions to the elders in particular. And they're among you. I'll get a little bit more into that later, but he stated his qualification. It says, "Who am also an elder." This is why I'm writing. And actually, it's a slightly different Greek word used. It says co-elder, co-presbyter. But he also says, "I was a witness." I was a witness. And not only just a witness, I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. Peter argued with the Lord for about 3.5 years, it seemed like. But he saw what Christ went through. When Christ said, "Marvel not that the world hate you," Peter could remember that and remember how they treated the Lord of glory when he walked on this planet. That's some fine credentials, Mason. That is some fine credentials. Not the part about arguing with Jesus. That's human nature. It's the way we are. I don't really want to admit it, but I will. I disagree all the time. But I remember this. And it was a hard lesson to learn. And you have to go through some things before you can really grab a hold of it. It is. All things work together for good to them that love God. I know this is so. Why? Because I had to get beaten in the head with it several times before it decided to soak in. And still, I'll forget about it when I'm in the middle of something. Afterwards, I'll remember.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. This is for my good.
Yeah.
But Peter is stating his qualifications here. I was an elder. I am a co-elder. And I was a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I denied him 3 times. But I was following him.
Yeah.
Where was everybody else? Only other one was one followed far off, John. The others didn't make it as far as Peter did. Yes, he did deny him, but yes, he did repent. Why? Because, yes, Christ had prayed for him.
Amen. Yeah.
And he was a witness to the sufferings of Jesus Christ in this world that he went through. And Peter also knew this world has not changed. Christ did resurrect from the dead. Christ did ascend to the Father. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. But this world has not been changed. It has not been cleansed. Man has not been improved. There's more suffering coming. But also, he was a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. There's better times coming. There's good times coming. Jesus Christ is coming again.
Yeah.
And he is going to reveal himself to this world. And they still won't have it. They still won't have him to reign over them. That is the strangest thing, Walter, when you read in the book of Revelations when it says, hide us from him that comes. Aren't you supposed to bow down and pray to Jesus? Even then, when he comes in power and glory, they're going to want to hide from him because they don't want anything to do with him. That's okay. The feeling's mutual. He's got something to do with them, but they're not going to like it. Walter, I guess there are some people who are too dumb to know a good thing when they see it. Well, actually, it's too dead to know a good thing when you see it. Spiritually dead. But Peter is saying here, I'm qualified and I'm authorized. A co-elder, a co-presbyter, and a witness. So here's what I got to say. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not of for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The reason I got on to this verse here, well, let's just turn back here, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, and it actually goes on for the whole chapter. Because I might need that later. That way I don't lose my place in Peter. Ezekiel chapter 34 and the whole chapter concerns the shepherds of Israel. The elders of Israel. And it's not good. Verse 1 states this, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy. Okay, so far so good. Next word, against. Uh-oh. Against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. Walter, that scares me.
Sure.
It does. Henry preached a message on this years ago. I had a tape of it. And this is what I remember. Woe. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel. If you're in charge, so to speak, more is expected of you. And don't worry about more being expected from people. More is expected from you, from God. And that's a scary thought. I remember Earl telling the story, or what was it? I think it was Scott said, "Don't remember when you get up there, you're speaking for God." And like, to quit trying to cheer me up. As if I don't have enough to worry about right now. Forget about fear of public speaking. Fear of speaking for him in this place.
Yeah.
It can be nerve-wracking. It can be ulcer-inducing. But then you read this and it says, "Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that feed themselves and don't feed the flock." Feed the flock. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. These were the people in charge. That's who he's prophesying against. And they fed themselves and they didn't feed the flock. That's the charge. That's the charge from the Lord.
Right.
Not from me. Not from anybody else. That's the charge from God against these people who are supposed to be in charge. There's more. "The disease have ye not strengthened," this is verse 4. "Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." And they were scattered. Why? Because there is no shepherd. "And they became meat to all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them." Verse 7. Heard the charges against the shepherds of Israel. "Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live." Oh yeah, that's a doozy. Yes, he does live. There is no more factual fact than the fact that God lives. "And as God lives, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock." You think God's serious about this? I think he is. "Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. I am against the shepherds."
Yeah.
Well, that's not all. "Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand." What did he say? "I am the Lord, and I will repay." There's that big billboard up going out to where Walter lives. It says, "You can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences." I'm sorry, if you've chosen your sin, you have chosen your consequences. It's not up to you. That's true. It's up to God. I don't have to worry about repaying anybody. even though I still do. I don't have to worry about revenge, even though sometimes I may dream of it. Because God will repay.
He will.
He's going to require it at their hands. If you lie about God, He's going to require it at your hands. That scares me. I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. The prophecy against the shepherds of Israel is, I'm going to pay them back. I'm going to take care of this. Now we get into the promise where He's going to take care of His sheep. This whole chapter from one beginning, from the beginning of to the end is I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, thus saith the Lord. I will. I think He will. I know He will. I know He will. Whether I know it or not, He will. Whether I think about it or not, He will. The offenses that I know nothing about, He will. The problems that I know nothing about, He will. He will. It's His promise. Because it's His flock. And that's why the offense is that much greater. Because these were to be the shepherds of His flock. I don't have a flock. God does. I don't have a flock. Christ does. I'm just accountable for what I do. Now, I am accountable to you, but more importantly, I am accountable to Him. And that is a scary thing. But we do have the hope, because He doesn't leave His flock lost. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 13, and I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them. All this bringing stuff. Why aren't these sheep just coming to Him? They can't. They're scattered. They're lost. If I knew how to get home, I wouldn't be lost. If I could get home, I wouldn't be lost. I'd be on the way. Even if I dilly-dally and wander around, I'm on my way. I can always get home. I may not be able to get to work sometimes, but I can always get home. That's just physical. That's just physical. I can get home. These sheep are lost.
Right.
These sheep are scattered. That's the way we are.
Right.
It takes Him to deliver Amen. Us. It takes Him to bring us. And guess what? I will. I will. I'll deliver them. I'll bring them. I will feed them.
Yeah.
Verse 14. In a good pasture.
Amen.
And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. They're going to have a fold. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I think we're back to the shepherds again. I will feed them with judgment. That's verse 16. Verse 17, and as for you, O my flock, saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Here's the part that kind of gripped me a few days ago. Verse 18, Ezekiel 34. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? This is talking about the shepherds again. But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink which ye have fouled with your feet. There's a crime. Mm-hmm. There's a crime right there. What was it? Christ said to some, you won't enter in and you won't let anyone else enter in. See, not only have you ruined it for yourself, you've ruined it for everybody else. And if you stand in this place, and if you lie on God, not only are you ruining yourself, you're ruining it for everybody else. You're spoiling the truth of God that's out there.
That's right.
And that's a crime.
That's a crime.
Use a biblical word. It's a sin. It may be error, it may be heresy. Either way, it's a crime. And God will require it at your hands. Lying on God is not tolerated. Mistakes can be forgiven. I've been wrong before. I'll probably be wrong again. I'm hoping right now that I'm not wrong about this. But this is a crime, and this crime affects others. And that's the seriousness of it. Because you're affecting the flock of God. My flock, which I delivered, which I brought, and which I bring, and which I feed. Verse 22 says, therefore will I save my flock. Amen. And they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd.
Amen.
I think that's talking about Christ.
It is talking about Christ.
My Bible put a little star by it, Walter. That means it's a messianic verse. Yes, it is. They're right. They got it right this time. So's the next one. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. Why is all this going to happen? I, the Lord, have spoken it. I'll deliver, I'll bring, I'll feed, I'll save my flock.
Yeah.
See, standing up here, I don't have to save anybody. That's a good thing because I can't. I can tell you about the salvation he has already purchased with his own body, with his own blood. But I can't save anyone. I'm supposed to feed the flock. But the beauty of that, the grace of that, is that he's already said, I'm going to feed my flock. So all I can do, all I have to do is try not to lie. To speak the truth and lie not. And God will feed his flock. There's a great shepherd. I know that's about time. I got to thinking about hierarchies the other day. Yesterday, actually. Because the Catholic hierarchy is very much in evidence. If you've ever been in there, you got a local priest, you got a bishop above him, and above a bishop you got a cardinal, and above the cardinal you got a pope. You have a chain of command.
Yeah.
It's like being in the army.
Sure. Yeah.
Except for, well, not really, because I didn't listen to them too well in the army either. And I didn't listen to these guys either. But I was a good Catholic. I went to church on Sunday. Our hierarchy is us and Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
There is no middle management.
Right.
I don't want any middle management. I was reading a cartoon the other day. This fellow who was the big boss of the company was talking to the middle management guy, the guy over the peons, the engineers, and he said, I'm going to put about 7 levels of management in between you and me. He says, my goal is to be able to run this company without knowing anything about it. So the little manager guy that's there says, boss, I don't think that's a good idea. And the boss says, that's the kind of input I'm trying to get rid of. Stuff flows downhill. I'm not going to say anything more than that. The flock of God is cared for by the shepherd. It's called a ministry because we are to minister to you and to each other. Service, not rule. Service. That's it. Now, when you get a hold of that, the question is, why in the world would you want this job? I know why some want it, for what they can get out there. And that's who God's speaking against. Now, I know that chapter in Ezekiel has more meanings than what's going on, than what I'm talking about today, but what I'm dealing with is today. And it applies. It's appropriate. And there is no difference between the sheep then, the sheep now, and the sheep in the future. He's going to deliver them. He's going to bring them. He's going to feed them. All of the above. Whether it's now or in the kingdom or in the tribulation. It doesn't matter. I will. God said. But we have to deal with the here and now. God will repay, and he will require it at the hands of those. We are accountable. I can't say I'm responsible anymore because Walter's ruined that for me. I'm irresponsible. That much is certain. It's the truth. I'm accountable. And one day I'll have to give an account. And I ain't going to like it. I'm sorry. Because, see, I can't remember anything good I've done. And I can remember a whole lot of bad things and dumb things I have done and dumb things I have said. Oh, boy, am I looking forward to that. Well, I am. But just not that part of it.
Sure.
I'm ready for him to come.
Yeah, amen.
Well, let's get this accounting over with. That's it. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for you who has provided so great a salvation for your flock. The flock that you have redeemed, the flock that you are calling out and assembling together. Thank you, Lord, for making us a part of it, for bringing us into your body, making us, fitting us for heaven one day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.